Shalom Chavarim, this is John Parsons with Hebrew for Christians, and welcome to another Daily Devar audio broadcast. Today I want to talk about the blessing of holy desperation and how God is the healer of the brokenhearted. In the Torah it's written, "The Lord your God carried you, as a man carries a son, all the way that you went till you came to this place." That's Deuteronomy 1:31. And this verse expresses a principle of spiritual life. Part of the miracle of faith is coming to believe that you matter, that your thoughts, your words, your deeds are all of interest to God. You may be tempted to regard yourself as unseen and powerless before the Creator of the universe. After all, how is it possible for anyone to serve the Infinite One, since even the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot sustain you, as it says in 1 Kings 8:27? "Are we not made of clay, whose foundation is but dust?" it says in Job 4:19. Here the miracle of faith believes that God, the Lord and source of all life, seeks relationship with us, and that he makes place within himself to hear us, to engage our lives and to walk with us. Indeed, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God emptied himself and clothed himself with human dust so that we could be touched by his love. The Lord carries us through our exile so that we might know and trust him. I have talked with people before who object to the idea of hell and seek some kind of annihilationism or other theory to explain away the fact that some people reject God. However, all the language about hell that we read in the scriptures has to do with God's passion and interest in what we do and who we are as people. Hell is really the inverse of the divine love. There would be no hell if there were no infinite heart of God. And those that reject that infinite love of God will find themselves in a place cut off from love forever. God cannot give a good apart from himself. He cannot give eternal bliss apart from the presence of his own being. And therefore, those that reject that are given the tragic alternative of being in exile from God's love and presence. And that is what we mean by hell. I once envisioned it this way. Every soul will be before the presence of God one day. And those that want to be there and are welcome there and feel the presence of love will find the divine light to be beautiful and inviting and wonderful. But those who don't want to be there, who've chosen to be apart from that light, will find the light intolerable and tormenting and something that they want to flee from. As C.S. Lewis once said, I'm paraphrasing, God has given us the intolerable compliment of making our actions and choices of eternal significance. In other words, your life matters. It really matters. And what you do infinitely matters, everlastingly matters before heaven. There are no little people in God's eyes. Each soul has been created by God for his glory and purposes. As C.S. Lewis also said, there are no, quote, ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals with whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit, immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. That's a quote from The Weight of Glory. Life is a miracle and nothing is trivial. In the world to come, you're going to be shocked to understand that everything you thought, everything you said, everything you did was given to you from above and therefore has tremendous significance. So act as if your choices have eternal significance, because they do. And pray as if your life depends on it, because it does. Praying in accordance with the will of God, namely for you to know him, to walk in the light of his love and joy and peace, to be filled with wisdom and patience and kindness and so on, will assuredly move heaven and earth on your behalf. Look at 1 John 5:14. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. The language of truth is the language of heaven. God is forever faithful and always hears those who call out to him with sincerity of heart. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call upon him in truth. Psalm 145, verse 18. There is no such thing as an unanswered prayer, because God hears all those who cry out to him with sincerity of heart. However, there are those that have false conversions to the Lord. There are false believers, enemies of the gospel, as they're called by the Apostle Paul. Yeshua asks, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? That's Luke 6:46. Regarding this question, Soren Kierkegaard comments, true worship quite simply consists in doing God's will. But that kind of worship was never to people's liking. What occupies people in every age is to arrange another kind of worship that consists of doing their own will, but in such a way that God's name, calling upon God, is somehow connected with it, whereby people think themselves protected against being ungodly. Alas, although precisely this is the most definite kind of ungodliness, that's from a tract he wrote called The Moment in 1854, alas, people tend to make God in their own image rather than hear what God says in his word. It's easy to go wrong here. The will of God is forever to trust in his Son, and indeed this is the work of God, as Yeshua said in John 6:28. Yet this means suffering for God, needing him, yearning for his daily blessing, being abandoned to his care for your life. When out of the depth of your need, without pretense and in despair over yourself, we cry out to the Lord, he will surely help us. As is written, if we ask according to his will, he hears us. And therefore, it's the heart's need for him that is the will of God. That's the blessing of holy desperation that I've talked about over the years. It's the blessing of feeling terribly needy and irreparably broken, and you can't even live a day without God's presence to help you through. As Yeshua said, blessed are the poor in spirit, the impoverished of heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so that inner poverty and mourning may seem to be a form of weakness, but it's a divine blessing. It's sort of like the limp that Jacob was given to walk with God. Therefore, as the Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong, for God sustains my way. So God's will is to be known in our heart's need for him, and that includes our weakness and our mourning over our lives. So again, Yeshua says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name and cast out demons in thy name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's Matthew 7:21-23. Despite both the practice and profession of their faith, these people were strangers to God. They had a false sense of assurance. They believed they were serving God when they really weren't. Therefore, the essential question here is whether Yeshua truly knows you and the need of your heart. You may know a lot about God, religion, spirituality, and so on, and yet remain unknown by God. So how is it for you, friend? Do you feel this inner heartache, this yearning for deliverance from your own personal evil, your own fear, the pain and sorrow that is in you? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness that you don't have? Do you feel impoverished and broken? Do you suffer from anxiety over your sins and experience shame and guilt feelings, dread even over what you've done in your life? Do you feel helpless, really? I mean, what are we looking for here? When we talk about our life connection with God, what are we talking about if not our daily bread, the strength to go forward and to retain hope in the light of the darkness of our own souls and of this world? Our greatest fear is to not be accepted, to not feel welcomed by life. When you're on your deathbed, who are you going to call out to, and what is your hope being placed in? Ultimately, sanctification is gained in our lives through a process called mortification, and that is coming to the end of ourselves, stripping away from us all that we hold dear apart from our connection to God and all hope. God has to first strip away everything about you that is understood apart from relation to him, and that represents the death of the ego or the self. That's why Yeshua said, if anyone comes to me and hates not his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This is the prelude or prerequisite for sanctification, which is the development of inner character that comes from God's Spirit, where the new life is formed within us, but it comes at the expense of the death of the self and the final ruin over the self, identifying with the death of Messiah for you, and then also by faith accepting his life and identifying with that resurrection life in your place as well. So continuing, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. From this we understand that good works, even those done in the name of Messiah, are insufficient for life and that something more is needed. Now that something more is the reality of relationship with Him. However, even Yeshua's sacrifice on the cross can't bring you into relationship with Him apart from personally receiving it for your own healing. By faith, you encounter Yeshua clothed in your flesh, your sin, and suffering death for you. As long as He remains outside of you, you're separated from Him. The scriptures say, "For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." That's from Jeremiah 2:13. Spiritually speaking, there are two basic sorts of breaking. One is to be broken by the inevitable sin and ruin of this world, and the other is to have lev nishbar, a broken heart before the Lord. The former comes from the vain attempt to find life in the broken vessels of this world, whereas the latter comes from realization of an incurable inner emptiness. The soul finds eternal satisfaction desiring God's righteousness, since God alone provides the vessel of living water we need to live, as Jesus said. We all must drink from God's fountain of life, lest we suffer spiritual dehydration and death. All who are thirsty are invited to come to the waters. All those who mourn are invited to come and find comfort. So are you haunted by an inner ache for love, joy, peace, and life? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Such inner poverty is a disguised grace, and a desire for healing reveals the Spirit's invitation. Faith begins with the recognition of what we really want, since only then will we come to Yeshua for the bread of life and living water. If we don't know we're sick, we're not going to try to find healing. All we need is found in Him, though we must first reach out in faith to receive. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. God rewards those who seek Him out. He answers the heart cry. He responds to all who hope in His love and salvation. Therefore, as Yeshua said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." That's Matthew 7:7-8. We are not saved by faith in our own faith, but in the reality and power of the Lord God, who does the miracle of raising the dead to newness of life. Harofe lishvurei lev, He is the healer for the broken of heart. Umechabesh le'atzevotam, and the one who binds up their wounds. That's Psalm 147, verse 3. So do you have the gift of holy desperation? That's the very special blessing of needing God so viscerally that you would otherwise fall to pieces or even self-destruct apart from His ongoing intervention in your life. You pray because your very life depends on it. You believe because without God you'd be swallowed up in darkness. The fire on the altar was to be kept burning at all times, symbolizing the inner fire of the heart. How blessed it is to be filled with that fire of inner need, the relentless groaning, the constant hunger and thirst for God and His righteousness. How fortunate we are to receive daily bread from the hand of our Heavenly Father. Only God can fill the inner emptiness of your heart, friend. Well, I hope that this daily devar has been helpful. The only way out of the painful ambiguity of life in this world is to hear a message from the higher world, the heavenly voice that brings hope to our aching and wounded hearts. Faith comes by hearing the word of Messiah, it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And yet, what's the meaning of this message if it's not that all shall be made well by heaven's hand? Amen. There's hope, and all your fears will one day be cast into darkness, swallowed up by God's unending comfort. That despite the troubles of this world, that despite the fears that we have about the COVID outbreak and the rise of totalitarian fascism in the world that will enslave humanity in the end of days. Despite all that, the Lord is our light. He's our salvation. For it is you, O Lord, who light my lamp. The Lord outshines my darkness. Exercising faith means actively listening for the eternal voice, the word of the Lord that calls out in love in search of your heart's trust. To have faith means justifying God's faith in you, that is, understanding that you are worthy of salvation, that you truly matter to God, and that you're invited to come too. Living in faith means consciously accepting that you're accepted by God's love and grace, and trusting God means that you bear ambiguity, heartache, and darkness, yet you still have hope that enlightens your way. Therefore, we walk by faith, not by sight, as if the invisible is indeed visible. We must stay strong and keep hope, for through hope we are saved, it says in Romans 8:24. Faith is the conviction of things unseen. Don't be seduced by mere appearances. Don't allow yourself to be bewitched into thinking that this world could ever be your home. No, we're strangers and pilgrims here. We're on our journey to reach the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, it says in Hebrews 12:22-23. Therefore, don't lose heart. Keep to the narrow path. Set your affections on things above, since your real life is hidden with God, it says in Colossians 3. Do not yield to temptation of despair. Look beyond the giants of the land. Reckon them as already fallen. Keep pressing on. Chazak, chazak, venit chazak. Be strong, be strong. Let us be strengthened. Fight the good fight of faith. May the Lord our God help you take hold of the eternal life for which you are called. Amen.
מודה אני כל בוקר שהחזרת את נשמתי מודה אני על בגד שנחת על גופי שלא יהיה לי קר אתה שומר עליי.
Please note that this lovely music comes from Omer Adam, and this is a song called Mode Ani. You can find them on Amazon.com. And also, please visit us at HebrewForChristians.com for more about the Jewish roots of the faith, the Jewish holiday cycle, and, of course, learning Hebrew. Shalom, shalom, Chavarim.